All right. Look what it says here, and I'll start reading at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now we're talking on, of course, this topic that we've been speaking on. This is lesson number 30. So we have been here a while. So I've already gotten what the next topic is going to be. So now I know we're beginning to close. All right. Let's hit a couple of things here first, and things that I think are relevant. We came into this, and we were talking about manifesting as sons of God, and we're mentioning, we're in this area called vengeance and recompense, and we were defining what vengeance was, and we said it has nothing to do with hatred or resentment, some kind of emotional retaliation, but it is something that comes out of God's love of justice, and it's a necessity for punishing offenders. Vengeance. And also we said recompense has to do with repaying or having something that was done returned to you, an equivalent of anything that was done or suffered by you. It means to compensate, it means to repay, or to me to pay amends, or to pay damages. So what has happened is we're finding out more and more about justice. And in wrapping this up, I just want to make sure that we plugged up all the holes and make sure nobody has the wrong opinion of what God's vengeance is. We read from Hebrews, if you put it up there, please, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30. And we read that, and it said that vengeance, we know him that has said vengeance belongeth to me, and I'll recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. That came from the Old Testament. But that's in Hebrews, the New Testament, what we call the New Testament. And so he's saying that vengeance belongs to me, and I will recompense. So over in Luke chapter 4, Jesus begins to read. He got the Bible. He opened the Bible. He got the Torah and opened the place where it was written. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You can put it up there. And recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Next verse. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This scripture. This scripture. Not another scripture. This scripture. Now, he read it from Isaiah 61. But in Isaiah 61, it has more than that scripture. Put it up there, please. In Isaiah 61, he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all the more. Notice he added on the day of vengeance of our God. So he had, now Jesus didn't preach that, but this is what Isaiah spoke under the anointing of God. So he spoke it into the earth. So it's going to have to be done. because every word God spoke is going to come to pass. He's not saying anything out here just to not just be saying something. So his word won't return to him void. Now, he said, the vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Okay? So as, if you can write that in, put that up there again. So as to comfort all that mourn. See, the vengeance is so as to comfort all that mourn. Anything that's making you uncomfortable will be removed. Keep going. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. To appoint unto them, I think I want the next verse. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Next verse. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Next verse. For your shame you shall have double. Next verse. For I, the Lord, love what? Judgment. And the word there is justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I'll direct their work in truth, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with them. So if somebody comes, somebody say, okay, you know, this is some recompense. You need to, I'm doing this out of my own. I'm not doing this by the Spirit of God. I'm doing this myself. You owe me some money and I want to get it. Well, that is robbery. Because first of all, you sidestepped the Holy Ghost and didn't walk in love. You got what I'm saying? All right, now this is very, very important now, because I want to make sure nobody misses anything here. Now, he said something about the throne of God. And if you go and look, come on over to Psalm 97 in verses 1 and 2. Psalm 97, verse 1 and 2. And he says this, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Keep going. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. So we found out that righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. So out of his throne flows justice. All right? Now, justice is vital to kingdom manifestation. Because as you and I are going out here now to establish his kingdom, he said, pray thy kingdom come, thy what? Will be done where? On earth. So a vital part of the kingdom is justice. So now I've got to go out here along with love, along with healing, along with deliverance, along with helping people and so forth. I got to bring some justice. Because the system basically has been under demonic abuse. And we said justice is one of the justice systems of the nations is one of the main targets of demonic abuse. So now I got to come against that. Now, I understand I got to come against it, but the devil's got some folks in there that don't like that. Say amen to this. I mean, what they're doing now is people are making laws that are against the laws of God. And here I'm coming in here, and through the wisdom of God, of course, I'm confronting some things. Say, wait a minute, this is not right. I know it's on the books, but it's not right. Say amen to this. So in Psalm 82, put that up there, please. Over in Psalm 82, he talks about it here. He said this. He said in verse 1, he said in Psalm 82 in verse 1, got it. I've never seen that before. Okay. All right. I know what it says. I just never seen that before. I'm trying to figure out how that got as a part of the verse. You know what I mean? Well, just put it on back up there. Yeah. I know it. I just never seen it. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, judges among the gods. Now watch this. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Now understand, one of the reasons Jesus came is to get the earth back into the hands of his rightful ownership. That's God and his people. Say amen to that. Because we are joint heirs with Christ. Got it? So whatever he's inherited, we inherited. And he inherited the whole earth. Got it? Now this earth no longer belongs to the devil. So now we got to take it back. So every place that we go, we have to bring it under kingdom jurisdiction. All right? Keep it. That's part of that. Keep going. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy, because those people are being treated unjustly. I heard that there was food in Haiti that was sitting out there and they won't let it be distributed. That is unjust, folks. That is unjust. Now, wait a minute. Don't think that's just Haiti. That's going on all over the world in some form or another. But that's why we're coming in. Keep going. Defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, and rid them out of the hand of the wicked. That's our job. He says, for they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Have I said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High? Now, this is very interesting, because he's saying, you are gods. Now, when he says that, and he sends you somewhere, understand that you are not bound by this world's boundaries. Lord have mercy, I'm trying to get a word for it. In other words, what will affect them won't affect you. Because you are being divinely positioned now. You are God's. You are his under rulers. And he's sending you places that normally people won't go except they be divinely positioned. Are you with me? All right, go with me, if you will. Go all the way down to Exodus, in Exodus chapter 7, please. Exodus chapter 7. And look at Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1. The Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made you a who? God to Pharaoh. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Keep going. Thou shalt speak all that I command you. And Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land. So I'm sending you somewhere. And I'm making you a God to the circumstances. To whatever is in there, it won't touch you because of your position that I'm giving you in the spirit realm. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying they won't be able to touch you, they won't be able to stop you, and so forth. Let me just get a couple other things here that I had. Boy, it feels so good standing down there. Amen. When he sends you, he promotes you and backs you. When he sends you, he makes you a God over the task. When he sends you, you have a platform for supernatural manifestations. When he sends you, he will preserve you from all evil. Are you with me? Now stay with me now, because we're talking about justice. And I told you, it's one of the main targets of demonic abuse. Well, if that be the case, that enemy is guarding his justice system, which is basically injustice. He is guarding that. He does not want that to be overturned. So when you go in there, you're going to have to face the giant. And you got to know who you are. And what I said, that understanding vengeance creates a whole new attitude and behavior. if you understand it. Because when you understand vengeance, you've got to understand that whatever's out there, no matter what it is, it cannot hurt you because you have become impervious. Lord have mercy, that's my word again. Now, notice, all you have to do is go through the Bible, folks, and I'm not going to go back through this. You're going to get it. Praise God. Moses. Could Pharaoh hurt him? No. Abraham. We showed you King Abimelech over in Genesis chapter 20. We showed you that King Abimelech took Sarah into his palace. But he could, come on, put it up there, Genesis chapter 20, and look at verse 3. Over there, he said, but God came to Abimelech in a dream at night and said, behold, you're but a dead man. For the woman which you have taken, she's another man's wife. Notice, Abraham didn't have to fight his own battles. When you understand vengeance, the Holy Ghost's number one job is to bring vengeance against all the enemies of God's people, and nothing shall escape him. So they can't escape the Holy Ghost. It was Jesus, Lord Jesus. This is not a battle that you need to fight. And Abraham and Sarah had a destiny. And the enemy has been trying to hold the church from its destiny, of which now those days are over. So now what you've got to do is hear this so that it can go in your heart, so the Holy Ghost can operate through you. Nothing is going to stop you from reaching the plan that God has for your life. Now, as a result of him taking Sarah in, God spoke to this heathen at night in a dream and said, you but a dead man. You got another man's wife. And then he began to cry and say, you know, wait a minute. Now he told me he was a sister. Put it all up there again, please. And if you look at this, going down to the next verse. And then Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will thou slay the righteous with a righteous nation? Keep going. And he said to me, she is my sister. Keep going. And God said to him in a dream, yea, I know that you did this in your integrity of your heart, for I withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, suffered I not, thee not to touch her. I'm just saying, you now no longer can be abused. You got to get this. See, remember now, this is revelation. That's why I'm here. I'm here to open this thing up for you, because whatever's revealed to you will be restored to you. But I told you that vengeance hadn't been preached. And because it hadn't been preached, we've been victims. Yes, yes. Folks have suffered things that they shouldn't have suffered because they were representing justice for God. Amen. And something happened to them. And it shouldn't. I'm telling you, this here's got to be preached. But people haven't preached it because they didn't know this side was to God. They didn't know that God would tell a man, you better let him go, because if you don't, you're a dead man. I thank God that he's a God of love. Isn't he a God of love? But one of his names is the God of justice. And he will not let it go. because it's the foundation of his throne. He knows that if he doesn't have justice in the land, that evil will take over. And everybody will faint. Are you with me?
Yes.
Going down. Going down to the next verse. No, that verse was good. He said, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. And he's going to pray for you that you'll live. And if you and you restore her not, know thou that thou shalt what? Surely die. You and all that's in your house. Everybody up in there. Go on down, please. Therefore, Abimelech arose early in the morning, so forth. Go on down, next verse. All right, Abimelech is giving him some recompense now. Next verse. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee, dwell where you please. Next verse. And Sarah said, behold, I've given thy brother 1,000 pieces. And unto Sarah he said, behold, my brother, I've given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Next verse. And Abraham prayed to God, unto God. And God did what to Abimelech? Healed him. And his wife. Keep going. And his maidservants. Keep going. And their bad children. Keep going. Next verse. For the Lord had what? Fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of this one woman that he had no right to have in that house. Now, God is a good God, but the number one job of the Holy Ghost in the last days is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people, and nothing shall escape him. Not a one. Folks, when Moses was down in Egypt and he told Pharaoh, let my people go, and Pharaoh wouldn't let him go, here comes one plague. Let him go, Pharaoh, here comes another plague. Let him go, Pharaoh, here comes... As long as he resisted, there comes a plague. Am I right about it? But then pretty soon, Moses said, well, that's it. I'm going on, and I'm going to leave you with the Lord. Well, the death angel came down to town, and how many houses of the Egyptians did the death angel stop by? Every house. He doesn't miss a house. Anybody that's messing with you, he won't miss a house. Now, I know, see, some of y'all, it's kind of hard for you to take this because you think God is being hard. He's not. He's a God of justice. And he will not change. Are you with me here? So I'm saying here that God has a plan for your life. And the enemy has been trying to block that plan. And the enemy sometimes has been doing through people, but sometimes just through demons. So vengeance can be executed upon demons. For example, when I was down at Lake of Berlaski, notice what happened. The lady ran in the church there, in the little storefront church. She said, crying, said, listen, one of the sisters, she said, the drug dealers have taken over my block. They're selling drugs. They come out at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They stay till after midnight, and none of our kids can play. We're just held hostage. Now, that's injustice. I said, let's pray. We prayed. God said, tell her to take this bottle of oil and pour it from one end of that street down the other. What is he doing? He's executing righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. And what did he execute them against? He executed them against those demons. Because those demons had the guys come out there. So the next thing you know, the guys came out there for about an hour and left and never came back. And I'm saying, notice how he cleared out the whole block. Say amen to that, because of injustice. And he is saying, that is the job of the church. How long will you allow this to go on? He said, you got the blessing on your life. And when she put that oil down, that was the blessing. That blessing said that this place is blessed and not cursed. So let it go. And every demon had to leave. When you take that oil and put it in your house, you're saying this house is blessed. I'm sprinkling this around this house. Every demon up in here got to go. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. So I'm saying we're glory to God. So this justice, this is a key thing, and God will not forsake his people. Now, I showed you that last time. Let's go to Psalm 37, please. Psalm 37. Amen. Up there in the thing, y'all should have these scriptures written down. Now, when I say Psalm 37, put it right up on the board. You know it's what I'm going to. All right. He said, For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh what? Not his who? Saints. They are preserved, come on, forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be what? Cut off. Now, he's not mad at anybody, but my point to you is he's going to preserve you. So when you go before the Pharaoh or go before whoever in your day, God's going to preserve you. When you stand up for justice, he's going to preserve you. So you don't have to be concerned what's going to happen to you, because he said, I won't forsake you. And if God ever says he won't forsake you, you better believe he will not forsake you. Go over to Psalm chapter 34, please. Psalm chapter 34, and look at verse, I think it's 19, glory to God. Psalm 34, and he says this, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Keep going. But the Lord, what? Delivers them, what? Out of them all. Now understand, every time you are afflicted by the enemy, because he's trying to stop you from establishing the kingdom of God in the midst of a Babylonian system. He's trying to stop you from saying things that need to be said, because when you speak, you release the blessing. He's trying to stop you from even being an influence in that place. But many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them. How many? Oh, every time you encounter Satan, whatever forces he's using, you can be assured that you're going to come out on top. Now, this has got to be preached so we can get it down in here. Say amen to that. And so now I'm saying that the enemy comes against us, and many times what we've done is we've gotten free and we just thank God I got free. But what you did is you got free and you didn't get your recompense. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying you've got to get free, and don't forget you've got some damages that he's got to pay. Anytime he afflicts you, he's got to pay. But what has happened is the church had not called for the damages. And we just glad to get, praise God, I got healed of that disease. Hey, that's one thing, but how much time did you spend trying to get rid of it? How much humiliation did you suffer? How much embarrassment did you have? Come on, how much time at the doctor's office did you spend? Everything's got to be paid for. And he's keeping records of it. So every time you walk forward and the devil afflicts you or comes against you or attacks your little son or your daughter, I thought he's got to pay. But if you, every time he's got to pay, you go and claim your damages and he's got to give it up out of his kingdom, you will be eventually too expensive to deal with. Did you see that? He won't touch you at all, because he knows as soon as he comes against you, you're going to get paid. Are you following what I'm saying? This is what time it is, folks. And we've got to understand this is a part of the kingdom manifestation. And that the redemption is not complete without divine provision. But because we've not had the provision, the body of Christ has been just as broke this year as we were 10 years ago. Why? Because we are waiting on something that we've never claimed. That provision, listen, folks, when Egypt was had Israel in bondage, and Israel now is time for their release, and they got released, but God said this, he said, now wait a minute, you're not going to go out empty. I said, you're not going to leave here empty. He said, now, and Moses told him, go over to each house that you've been a housemaid in or whatever, and tell them to give you the gold, tell them to give you the silver, and tell them to give you clothing. And they did it, and the people gave it to him. That's called favor. Folks will give you stuff who can't stand you, don't like you, hate you, talk about you, but will give it to you anyway. Folks, that's what God can do. Are you with me? But what did they do? They went to the wilderness. What did they do in the wilderness with it? They built a tabernacle. I'm saying mainly that money is coming in so that we can finish the work of building the house of God that God has called us to do. It ain't all for buying a Cadillac. It's for getting the gospel out and getting the kingdom advanced in the earth. And we haven't done it on the level that God has planned for it to be done because we haven't had the money. But the money is coming now. It's going to be released to God's people. And that's why that CD was made, because it was a prophetic time of release to the body of Christ. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. God has monitored injustices. And there is a higher court system that we're going to. You don't even need to go to this natural system. But there's a system that God has put up in heaven. And let me tell you something. God wants us to get everything that has been given to us by His Word, and this justice system is the foundation. Now, we've got to preach this, and the church, I'm putting right in my notes now, in the past, the church has not esteemed justice. They have not done it, folks. They have not esteemed justice. And it's been the church is the voice. It's a moral voice for the world. The church are the ones that's supposed to rise up and say, that's not right. The church are the ones that's supposed to rise up and say, hey, we've got to get those people something to eat. The church are the ones. And so what I'm saying now is because we hadn't been that voice in the church has lost, because it hadn't been that voice, the church has lost its relevance in the world. A lot of people don't even come. A lot of people say, why am I going down there? I mean, them people just as crooked down there as they are over here. And I'm just saying, we're getting rid of all of that now. Because we have had a what we call cultural blindness. We hadn't seen some things. I mean, look at the Indians, what happened? The Indians gave up all the land. They were making treaties. I had a guy in Hawaii, a chief, just talking to a Christian conference. He was talking about how mad he was, how bitter he was, because he saw what his father and forefather did and how they had signed treaties. And the next thing you know, the treaties were broken. And they land, as the people who were breaking treaties got more greedy, they took more land and pretty soon put them on a reservation. I said, look what happened to the slavery. Look at slavery in America. It couldn't have persisted unless the government was behind it. The government made laws that a person couldn't learn to read. The government made, come on now, don't get quiet on me, because we are going for justice. Listen, we have got to understand that justice keeps evil in check. And the body of Christ has got to be this justice arm that God is sending in this hour to right the things that were wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. It's something wrong with you if justice is not on your mind, if you are not in favor of God's justice, if you are not one who would say, hey, yeah, that we need to have justice now. If you are not like that, then you on the wrong side. You got to be on God's side. God is on the side of justice. The Bible said, the fear of the Lord, you will depart from evil. I'm telling you, what are you doing? You watch in the fear of the Lord what happened over in Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira came in there and lied about some money. And when they lied about some money, Peter said to Ananias, you haven't lied to God, to me, you just lied to God. He was talking about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is just as much God as the Father is God. The Holy Ghost, he lied to the Holy Ghost. And notice what happened. Boom, he hit the floor, dropped down dead. Nobody tried to raise him up. Why? And the Bible said, here comes Sarah. She was over there somewhere. Sapphira. I guess she was doing something, getting hair done, nails done, something. And came over there and notice what happened. She did the same thing that happened. She lied. Boom, dropped dead. This is talking about money in church. But what are they doing? They're not fearing God. They're not fearing God. And the Bible says after that, everybody feared God. Everybody feared God. I could hear them now. Don't go down to Living Word if you ain't right. Don't even go down there. Don't go down there and pray with them people. You got what I'm saying? Because God is a God of justice, man. Stop trying to neutralize God and say he will let anything go. He will not. He's going to toughen up the church and make it so when we see injustice, we'll step up to it. We won't sell out because of some money. Say amen to that. The Jews went through some hard times. The church should have stepped up and tried to help rescue. I'm talking about the different people. The church had not stepped up. I'm not saying get guilty about it. I'm saying get turned on with it. And say it won't happen no more, because if I see some mess going on, I don't care who they are, I'm going to step up and be a voice for God. That's what I'm trying to tell you. We got another opportunity here. We can't keep it so that the things keep coming back in. I mean, in just a minute, praise God. We can't keep this thing happening so that it keeps revolving and the enemy keeps gaining ground on us. We got to know, am I all right now? I'm going to preach. You look at what you want to look at. I'm going to preach. Now, my point to you is this. God wants us to love what he loves and hate what he hates. God doesn't hate sin because he don't want you to have fun. He hates sin because it'll kill you. Now, let me finish this up. Praise the Lord. Man, I had my flow there going. You know, wiping my nose. Next time, I'm going to let my nose stay where it is. It's going to help me. It's going to have to defend itself. Now, this is a part of the gospel. Justice is. We're not to leave that out, folks, because once we leave that out, then the church has no relevance.
That's right.
Has no relevance, folks. And there are people right now, like I said, Pharaoh said, listen, you go on and let me keep the kids. That's what the devil did. There was no fight about those Bibles coming out of that school. No fight. You know why? Because vengeance had never been preached. Had never been preached. See? And I'm not coming against anybody or talking down about any of our people that are so forth and so on. But very few people preached on justice. But now you're about to hear justice preached all over the world. And what am I saying? This is not about hatred. Because the haters won't get it to work. You got to hear that. This is based on love, folks. And let's go to this last place. Let's go. Well, I think what I'll do is just tell you about it. Justice is one of the main conditions through which heaven's economy shall manifest. A lot of money should be coming in the body of Christ right now. Now, I know I said we're going to deal with this and get a prayer and so forth, but I'm still working it out because I want to get something you can take to the bank. Well, take, I said it's in the bank, saying, right. Take something you can take with you. So, Lord have mercy. I feel like I preached. Yes. Now, let me just say this. Esther was involved in a situation of injustice. And I believe Esther represents somewhat of the church. Esther was chosen by God to be a part of the King Ahasuerus's harem, or whatever you might call it. But she was chosen to be in his palace. Esther was a Jew. Well, what happened was the devil worked through a man named Haman and told Haman, because he got mad because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. Mordecai was a Jew, wouldn't bow down to him. And told Mordecai, Haman, the devil, the enemy told Haman, said, you know, go and make a law to kill all the Jews. That's an unjust law. I said, that's an unjust law. And so what happened was, he went to the king Ahasuerus, it's found in Esther chapter 3, and told the king that the Jews are making laws or having laws that are not like his laws. See, this is a church. And so let's do away with them. And got the king to agree to it. And promised the king that he'd give him some money for it. King said, no, I don't want your money. Keep your money. I'm just telling you the story now. And then the king gave Haman, wicked Haman, his ring. The ring is a seal. Means whatever you have and you put in law and seal it, that law is passed. And remember what I told you, there's a higher court that is the court of heaven. That if any matter in the earth is contrary to the laws of heaven, you can take it to the judge. Now, folks, this is good news when you've been abused. And you know that if you go to the local courthouse, they are not going to give you a break at all. So what happened? Haman got the law, put it in writing, and I mean send horses out to all those provinces, kill the Jews. Mordecai got a hold of it. He said, oh my goodness, Mordecai fasted or whatever he did. Then he wrote a note to Esther. Esther, go in and see the king on our behalf. Esther sent a note back to him. I can't do that. If I go in to see the king and I'm not invited, I got some real problems because he can cut my head off. So what happened? Mordecai sent a note back to him. Sent a note back to him. And he said to him, go ahead and go in to see the king and pull that camera back out, please. Just pull it back out. Go in and see the king and intercede for the Jews on our behalf. You are close to him. Please go see him. But Esther, if you decide not to go see him, God will deliver us some other way. So what happened then? Esther fasted for 3 days.
Right.
A 3-day fast sometime is good for you. Now you hear what I'm telling you? In the Bible, put it up there if you will. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 5. Put it up there. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. You see that? If you're not getting a high quality word, you won't have strength to do anything. And many times sermons been watered down so that there's no strength and confidence to stand for God. Garbage in, garbage out. That's what they used to teach. But what I'm saying is you got Twinkies in, you're going to have Twinkies out. Look at verse 10. Put that up there, please. Up at verse 10, it says this. If thou faint in the day of adversity, that's because your strength is small. That's because you need something else to eat. She fasted 3 days. Here's another way you can interpret that. She stopped eating on that level. And she started eating on another level. You got it? You need another level of teaching. So what happened now? She put on a royal apparel. Kind of like what I got on in the bed. She went in there to the king boldly. Like she had some rights. And she told, and king pointed a scepter at her. She touched the scepter. The king said, Esther, whatever you want, up to half of my kingdom, I'm going to give it to you. Then Esther said, okay, if it pleased the king, I'd like to have a banquet for you. See, she was smart. She didn't just come in there, oh, wicked Haman, now you know that rascal. She was using wisdom. For some of y'all talk too much. You talk at the wrong time. You didn't get to the counsel of God. And so what happened? He had the banquet. And things happened at the banquet. She ended up telling about Haman, plus the fact the king saw Haman kind of pleading with Esther, and he thought he was trying to come on Esther and so forth. And the king said, what? Right in my face? Get. And Haman had put up a hanging gallows of 75 feet to hang Mordecai on. But the king ordered Haman to be hung. Watch this. And everything in Haman's house given to Esther. Not only that, Esther then had the king to change the laws and line up with the laws of heaven. And now all the Jews were spared. But not only were the Jews spared, anybody that came against the Jews, the law said, take everything they got. I'm telling you, anything that's coming against you, the devil gonna have to pay. Anything that, you follow what I'm saying? Now, what am I saying, saints? And remember, God is love. He doesn't have love. He is it. But the foundation of his throne is justice. And he will not ever forsake his saints. No matter who you stand up against, stop thinking about what's going to happen to me. What you need to pray about is what's going to happen to them. This is your time of vengeance and recompense. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we got for you. Woo-wee. I ask you to hold your seat for just a moment, please. We're going to be dismissing in just a moment. Now, are y'all getting this thing now? Yeah. Folks, let me tell you something. Some of them gangs out there in some of these cities, they wouldn't be formed if they didn't feel like they had to fend for themselves. They don't trust the police. Not at all. Because they heard about some of their partners.